Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for everyone here. Thank you for your grace in this house. Thank you for answering prayers in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. We're going to look at a very short story today in 2 Chronicles chapter 27. We are going to look through the whole of 2 Chronicles chapter 27, and it's, you know, going to be like an instructive teaching, if I will call it, very shortly. 2 Chronicles, the whole of 27, we're just going to quickly examine a king that had a good testimony with God. And you know, oftentimes for a king to start well and to end well, would mean we would have to give it some x-ray look. Because oftentimes they started well and they didn't end well. But you will start well and you will end well in Jesus' name. I said you will start well and you will end well in Jesus' name. So here is Jotham. You know, I'm very much convinced that our walk with God is not as much as important as how we start. It's about how we end. I'm sure a couple of you might have been privileged to, maybe by virtue of companionship, get to know people who started very well. Right? Started very well. Started on fire. Started praying. Started loving God. Started serving God. Started with this gospel. This gospel spreads everywhere. Glory to God. And then you look around and you don't find them. And glory to God when you look around and you find the people that you started with still in the same business of walking with God. But the limelight is on you this evening, so that you take heed that what you start, you finish. You see, I remember watching a very interesting race, you know, and when, you know, the gun was fired or shot, the race took off. And you find out that there was this lady who had something not coming in well. And so she really had a bad start. So everyone had taken to their heels. And here she was, struggling through her tract. And, you know, when I watched the race, I was blown away on how that she still continued in the race. She continued in the race. You know, and sometimes you can pass on the baton and she passes it on to another lady. She takes to her heels and another lady passes it on and they take to their heels. And boy, you could see they were covering space. And this was the last runner. You know, the baton was handed over to her and she took off. Couldn't believe my eyes. But that was a very bad start. But a very remarkable end. They actually won the race. So, in your walk with God, right, be careful about this. I knew somebody not happy when I shared these things, but it's just the reality. And I pray they come back. I knew someone who used to, lash me to go to SU in senior high school. And at a point in time, he was battling, you know, to even take his walk with God seriously. But I'm going to show you why some people start and they don't finish. But I pray that God is going to help each and every one of us to start what He has called us to do. And not just start, but to finish it. I'll serve you, Jesus. You mean more to me. I'll love you, Jesus. 2 years later, they're not close to whatever it is they sang as their song of consecration. Three years later, the same old fiery person that you knew was nowhere to be found. But it's going to be different with you in Jesus' name. You will start well. And you will finish it well. And all of these conversations I'm having with you are going to be ensued in the years ahead. 5 years to come, 10 years to come, 15 years to come, 20 years to come. Would this be a joke to you? Or you have actually made up your mind that you're going to be found in this? And you don't throw it all up to God and say, God, let your will be done. No, this one, your will is needed too. Right? So you are totally dependent on Him. Asking and receiving strength for the journey. While speaking words of faith, I'm going to be found in this. In the next 5 years, I'll be found in this. In the next 10 years, I'll be found in this. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. It doesn't matter what job I get. It doesn't matter who I find. It doesn't matter what home I find myself. I'm going to be found in this. So you have to tell yourself, I am going to be found in this, as the Lord pours out His grace on your life to keep you. And you know, I have, by the grace of God, you know, set my heart on a course. And I know what it looks like. If it's not, I'm not going in that direction. That's what you have to do. So some people are saying, oh, you know what? We leave it to God. Only God knows what is in 10 years. No. You speak words of faith. I'll be found in this in Jesus' name in the next 10 years if the Lord tarries. If the Lord tarries, I'll be found in this. And I receive strength. And I receive strength. And you know, the believer's life is configured by faith. He who comes to God must first believe that He is. God is. He is present. He's there. He is now. He's here. He is. He's true. You are going to be living that life by faith. The just is going to live his life by faith. Oh, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to get his attention. Now, faith becomes the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of the things unseen. So you speak as though you are present in there. You say, I will serve the Lord, and I'm serving the Lord. In the next 10 years, I'll be found serving the Lord. In the next 5 years, I'll be found serving the Lord. And he now takes those faith-filled statements and he meets them. Remember, he will meet you at the point of your faith. So while you speak those things, of course, you're not going to say, in my own strength. Of course, you're going to be acknowledging in your heart that the strength is of him. But you're going to speak in faith. Would you say, Lord, help me? Yes, you will. But you say, Lord, I'll be found in this. You help me. Your help is available to me. So, as we just move into this quick study, I want you to have the mind of a good finisher. Don't let somebody see you and then they ask you, oh, it was those times, so nowadays I work for a conglomerate architectural firm. So, medical, whatever, firm, law firm, accounting firm, all the firms. So, you see, I've really become, I've really become very busy, and it's like things are becoming some way. You started well, but what happened to your finishing? And sometimes you hear me pray that God help me finish. Yes, I pray that prayer very well. That God will help me finish. Yes. See, I'm in it. I'll be in it. But I don't want to be in it for 10 years and then the next 30 years. I want to be in it all the time, all through. So don't be that Christian who starts out well, zealous, on fire, speaking in tongues, getting everyone flowing in the things of the Spirit, getting everybody in church, flowing with the people. You know how to minister, you know how to preach, you are giving, dedicated. That's how maybe you started. Then the enemy comes in, he comes in knocking at your door. Sometimes with circumstances, sometimes with issues of life, and sometimes those issues of life could be legitimate, like they could be true. It's true that you need to go to work. It's true that you need to put food on your table. It's true that you need to, you know, maybe you want to get married. It's true that you want to have children. It's true that you want to grow old. It's true that you, I mean, all of those things are legitimate. It's true that you want to buy a car. It's true that you want to build a house. It's true that all those things are good. Nobody's saying it's bad. But the moment those things become reasons why you cannot continue, then it means that you started well, but maybe you didn't finish well. You're not finishing. But I brought you news. There's grace for you. And I. There's grace for you. And I. Say, I know that I was very on fire, but no, what happened to you? So in 2 Chronicles chapter 27, a quick one, Jotham was 25 years old when he became king. Wow. Yes, there were younger kings. But that's quite impressive. Imagine somebody becomes king of the whole Accra, 25 years old. He's ready for ministry, 25 years old. Actually, the Levites say you should be ready at 20. But he was 25 years old and he was ready. He was already ruling as a king. He became king. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. Verse 2. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He did what was right. He did what was right. Before we come back to this verse 2, I want you to see the promise of God in Exodus and in Deuteronomy, the promise of God when a man decides to do what is right in the sight of God. Exodus 15:26. Exodus 15:26. Exodus 15:26, and it said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight. You see, you do what is right in his sight. How do you do what is right in his sight? By giving ear to his commandments and to keep all his statutes. It means you're going to be not just a hearer of the word of God, but you become a sincere doer. You become a doer in sincerity of the word of God that has been taught you. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, do what is right. What are you doing that is right in his sight? You do what is right. Do what is right. What are the things God's word has told you to do? He says, if you will hear my voice and do what is right, give ear to my commandments, keep all the statutes. I'll heal you. Now that's the promise God gives, you know, the people of Israel in the Exodus. But it communicates a truth of the blessing that comes from heeding, hearing, doing the word of God. So God says, love. You see, okay, no. As for this person, I'm not going to love this person. God says, stay in the ministry, serve me with your life. No, I have a better opportunity right now. I really don't have that much time like that. Okay. Okay, preach your gospel to the poor. Right now, the gospel to the poor is not something I can do. I'm shy. Okay. Pray. I really have a very, very busy schedule, and my schedule is not too good, and I'll consider it. Okay, that's good. If you will diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, if you would listen to his voice, put away excuses, put away whatever it is you have to do. If you would listen, so doing what is right in the sight of God is doing the word, period. Is doing all the word says you should do. How would you know what the word of God says you should do when you don't read it in the written pages of the Bible and you don't hear it taught to you? How are you going to do it? So this is Jotham, 25 years old, reigned 16 years. And all that he did was right in the sight of God. You see, you need to really keep your heart. You need to. You need to keep your heart right. do what is right in the sight of God. So here is Jotham, 25 years old when he became king, reigned 16 years, and he's doing all that is right in the sight of God. Is the key to continuing and to finishing, which we all want to, is just to do what is right in his sight. Do what is right in his sight. You see, don't choose your way. Because you know why? There's a path that seemeth right. It seems right unto man. But the end of that path, people of God, is destruction, is death, is confusion, is sadness, is sorrow, is anxiety, is confusion, is, unfulfillment. The end of it. It looks like that is the right thing. Oh, just do it like the world does. Looks like that is the right thing. But it can't be the right thing, and it's not the right thing. I was telling someone, I said, you know what? If you're going to do the word, you better do the word. Right? Don't hover around the mouth of the word. If you're going to do it, just get on and do it. So what he did was that he did what was right before the Lord's sight. Even something as not quarreling with your sister or not quarreling with your brother, but always choosing to walk in love. It shouldn't be difficult for you. Shouldn't be. Because you are a doer of the word. So this is Jotham. And don't say, Pastor Reynolds, nowadays, it's really difficult to, it's really difficult. You know, Jotham didn't have the Spirit of God on the inside of him. And he was able to, at his reign, age 25, do what was right in the sight of the Lord. And of course, this had to do with his kingly duties, most definitely. But, you know, a right king doing his kingly duties means that he has a good heart that is of the Lord. So he didn't even have the Holy Spirit on the inside of him like you do today. And Bible says that he was able to rule the people. He was able to, you know, instruct the people according to the ways of the Lord in his responsibility as king. And he did not enter the temple of the Lord. He did not corrupt the temple. Just like Uzziah, his father. He did what was pleasing to God. You know, can God tell you that What you are doing is pleasing to him? What can he say that? One time I remember, I was praying, and I slipped off into a vision, and I saw this man standing on my right hand side. couldn't see his face, and he held with him a lamp. And you know, when you're walking like a woman down the aisle, and you hold her, like maybe the husband to be holds her right there, is how he held me in the vision. And I saw that the lamp brightened the path as I walked with him. And in that same vision, words followed, and he said, "Don't forget to always walk with me." Very instructive. Don't forget to always walk with me. Because the moment you walk outside of him, there's darkness. I'm telling you, the enemy is ready for you. I promise you. I promise you. The world is ready for you to chew you up. The moment you sway off your path, don't trust the devil like that. And immediately after I finished the vision, I stumbled on Psalm 102, verse 17. Yes. It said, "Don't leave me. If you leave. And he wasn't talking about salvation. If you leave, there will be no light. If you leave, there will be no light. So stay with me in the work. Don't go. Walk with me like that, and I will keep shining my light on your path." And that's what he's telling you today. The word of God is that shining light to your path. Psalm 102, verse 17. And I'm telling you today, this evening, because the Lord has anointed you, he has. No, Psalm 132, sorry, 132, verse 17. Because he has anointed you. He's going to direct your path every single now and then. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Yeah. So he will be that light. You are going to become that light for people. And he is that light that lightens you to enlighten others. So you need to walk with him. Oh yes. So in 2 Chronicles 27, he did what was right in the sight of God. And the Lord was with him. He did not, in his rulership, teach the people perverse things and lead the people into perverse doings. He didn't do that. But watch what he did. He built the upper gate of the house of the Lord. He built extensively on the wall of Ophel. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah and in the forest. He built fortresses and towers. The guy is going around building houses for the Lord. He's a preacher of the gospel in the New Testament. He's found in the ministry. He's found teaching in the ministry. He's found preaching in the ministry. He's raising up temples and men in temples, because today men are those temples. Those men are going to be raised for the Lord's sake. The guy was a ministry man. He sits there and 25 years of age, he's actively involved in the ministry, heavily involved. Builds the upper gates of the house of the Lord, builds extensively, builds the walls of Judah, the mountains of Judah, builds the fortresses and the towers.
Oh, what did he do? He fought with the kings of the Ammonites and defeated them. And the people of Ammon gave him in that year 100 talents of silver, 10,000 cores of wheat, 10,000 of barley. The people of Ammon paid this to him in second and third years also. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. It's always found there. Found fighting anything that was not of God. And that's how you fight. You fight by preaching. You fight by teaching. You fight on your knees. On those knees. You go outside. You go and pray. You kneel down in your room. You pray. You stand up. You pray. You fight for the Lord. You fight for the Lord. That's what Jotham was doing. Not building nightclubs and nightclubs and building a, what do you call it, party centers and building a whatever. No. No. Building cinema centers. Have you watched the next interesting movie? Wow, this movie is a Kwando. I'm even shy. I can't even mention any movie. But the one I remember is Kwando Sesmia. So I think I can use that one. Have you watched, what do you call, what's the favorite, the latest movie? What, Game of Thrones or something? What, someone should help me with movie titles. I see they don't watch it. I just love things. Give me titles. Day of the Jackal. Let him come. Let him. I give another one. Day of the Jackal. Mm-hmm. The Rookie. Okay. You are building Rookies and Day of the Jackal. Rambo. Rambo isn't that an old, what do you call it? That's a Rambo, we know Rambo. Blacklist. They are building Blacklist the day of the Naruto and all of this. Naruto isn't an old one. They are pretending like they don't know movie titles, but they know, I'm very sure that they know. Gangs of London. It's going to be a very bad movie. No, it's like Gangs. I know it's going to be Gangs. I'm thinking of what it's going to be. Gangs of London. Alchemy of soul. Alchemy. No, if you don't know new ones, don't type old ones. Lion King is an old movie now. Alchemy. Or they are generating their own titles for me. If it was generating titles, don't you think I'm smarter than you? I can give you mountains of Addis Ababa. And then you go and look for out there mountains of Addis Ababa. You're busy watching mountains of Addis Ababa. But that's not what Jotham was doing. He was building the house of the Lord, the upper gates, building extensively on the walls of Ophel, not building on social media, building Instagram, building TikTok, building Snapchat, building surfing. You check your data and see how much data you spend. Yeah. Check your data. So what is Jotham doing? He's becoming mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Verse 8. And he was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. So Jotham rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Ahaz, his son, reigned in his place. It means he finished well. That's what's very key studies say about Jotham. He finished well. One of the few kings who finished well. May you finish well in Jesus' name. Solomon, you started very well. 700 concubines, 300 wives, 1,000. Started loving the Lord. Some of you have started well, but you will not end like that in Jesus' name. You didn't even know how to take two boyfriends or three. Now you have four. One buys credit, the other buys, Indomie. The third one buys beggar. The other one is the one you really love. He doesn't buy anything. You send him money from the ones that send you money. That one is the one you really love. So when they send the money, you send to him. The beggar, you eat it together. So Jotham rested with his fathers. They buried him in the city of David. You know, let me tell you something. I want you to finish well. Are you listening? Finish well. Don't start as a Christian zealot and at the end, you have so many reasons. Yeah, I want to finish well. I want to finish well. I'm telling you, it's my prayer. Yes. And when I see men of God with gray hair, I just love it. Kind of, wow, that's really a blessing. Like he's been in it. He's been in the thing. He's in the thing. Will you get for God to use 40 years of your life for his purpose? Will you get 40 years of your life for God to use? It's a blessing, though. Eh? So just accept it and don't fight it. So from today, I'm going to pray for you that all over in this ministry, there will be grace to finish. Yes, grace to finish. It doesn't matter whether you are here, you move to another nation as the years come, but we should find you in this thing, in this thing, in this thing. We should find you in this thing. We should find you serving the Lord. We should find you in the work of the ministry. We should find you serving God. You find you serving God. Whether you are with your parents, you are not with your parents, you are with your aunties, you are not with your aunties, you are with whoever it is, you should be found doing this thing, continuing and finishing. Father, I thank you for the grace to finish. Thank you for your spirit that stay in grace and that stay in power. Lord, one decade, two, three, four, five. Oh, we're going to be found doing this in Jesus' name. We're going to be found doing this in Jesus' name. Let our hands serve you. Let our knees serve you. Let our hearts serve you. Let our lips serve you. All through our life's days. And let us be able to stand before you and say, Lord, we served you while you gave us life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want you to say a solemn, affirmation to yourself.
You say, Pascal, you mention your name. And you say, there's grace for me for this. Say that to yourself. Oh, Pascal, there's grace for you for this. Pascal, there's grace for you. Pascal, there's grace for you. There's grace for you. There's grace for you. There's grace. Tell yourself affirmatively, there's grace for me. There's grace. No, say it to yourself. You don't need to type. Say it to yourself. There's grace for me. There's grace. Grace for me. To finish. In Jesus' name. Amen.